WSBC. Welcome back to another week of the Hooli's Hooli Radio Hour. My name's Patty Houlihan. I will be your host all hour. Joining me, as always, to the right tonight is twin brother Billy.
Oh, hello.
To the right. And then to the right of him is producer Mike. And then to the right of Mike is Clayton O'Brien, the greatest person in the world. Right, Clay?
Yes, that's correct.
Welcome back, Clay. We missed you last week.
Thank you.
We love you. We missed you wholeheartedly.
I love you. I love all of you.
We're glad that everything's worked out.
Yeah. Everyone's feeling better. We had a little scare. Yeah, not even a scare. More precautionary measures for my one-year-old daughter. Had a little virus there.
That's very, very, very important.
That's three nights in the hospital. Can't cure.
Oh, my goodness. That must have scared the suddenly duds out of you.
It's just, it's worrisome, you know? It scared the Sudley duds right out of me.
I tell you, buddy, it scared the Sudley duds out of me.
But God bless the nurses and doctors. They really make you feel, you know, as good as you can.
As comfortable as you can. You told me via text message that the entire, you know, ward of had the same virus going down.
Yeah, it's called the, what is it?
Stevie Ray Vaughan virus?
It's the Stevie Ray virus.
The SRV?
It wails.
Yeah.
You can hear it all over the house.
My kid's sick. He's got SRV.
It's called SPV.
I'm hearing life by the drop all over the place.
Which is, it's just like a really terrible, like, it's like a flu times 100.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's very deep in your chest. And when you're 1 year old, you have very small lungs and et cetera. So.
Right.
Well, Clay, you know, everybody was sick. My kids were sick. And when I heard that yours were sick, I was like, oh, I hope she's okay. But I didn't have any idea that it was as serious as it was until a couple of days later. And I'm super happy that everything's worked out.
Everything's good. Back to normal.
Back to normal?
For now
we have more ramblings to talk about. Bill.
Is it back to normal?
Why do you say it wouldn't be?
Well, Billy's not happy.
Why? Yeah, look at you jumping in.
Cody Parkey.
Yeah.
Enemy number one. Public enemy number one.
Yeah, he is, I guess, huh?
I laugh at it now. No, I'm over it.
I feel bad for him.
Let me ask you this, for radio listeners. If you don't know, the Bears lost
by one point.
That is if you're listening in Chicago, if you don't know.
On a missed field goal at the end of regulation between the Philadelphia Eagles last week.
In the playoffs.
To spoil their little Cinderella run.
Yeah.
And it was missed by a field goal kicker named Cody Parkey, who has missed about, seven or eight kicks this year?
Yeah.
And
I think it was 11 total.
Was it 11 total? He was the weakest link on the Bears all year, and the entire Chicago fan base was riding this issue the entire season. Many people in the back of their head thought that this could happen, and to quote Ghostbusters, and now it looks like it actually may, or it has.
Yeah.
You know?
He's the new Bartman.
I don't know. He's not.
No.
You know, because
he's not as nerdy looking as Bartman. He doesn't stand out in a crowd. I looked at how big he is. He's 6'1".
I guarantee you, there was Bears fans who wanted to drive to his house.
Did you see the guy that was on Barstool Sports that was screaming as he was walking out of the stadium?
Well, Clay, you bring up an excellent point. We could make a Cody Parkey movie about a sleazy Bears fan. It's kind of like Buffalo 66.
Buffalo
revisited.
66. I thought of that instantly when he missed that field goal. I go, someone's
Scott
going to
Wood.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill Scott
I'm
gonna, Wood.
I'm going to kill Scott
That's
Wood.
That's what Vincent Gallo is yelling and mumbling the whole movie.
Yeah, if you haven't seen Buffalo 66, it's about a guy who gambles $50,000 on the Bills to win the Super Bowl, and they lose by a field goal. And then he finds out that the kicker was in on it because he had money on the game, too.
So right.
He goes out, sets out to kill him. It's a great movie.
Another good movie is...
And Ben Gazzara is in it, which
makes
sense.
That's correct. And he sings.
One of the greatest Irishmen that ever graced the silver screen.
Another good one about sports fans is... It's that movie, Pat. You know it well.
The Fan?
The Fan with De Niro is outstanding.
Hey, Bobby! All right, Bobby!
Bobby Rayburn.
Wesley Snipes, his name. Yeah.
The film where it's Patton Oswalt. He's a
big fan
big
is
fan.
The name of the film. Mm-hmm.
Actually, that's about an Eagles-Giants rivalry, so we could do Big Fan Part 2, Eagles-Bears, and people looking to kill Cody Parkey.
Okay, Act One. It starts on this is very meta. We're starting the film right now. We need a stenographer over here. Who plays Cody Parkey in the Bears lunatic fan movie where they try to go out and ruin his life?
Ricky Schroeder?
Ricky Schroeder would be a very good. He's a little old to play Cody Parkey though. No, I mean, he's probably three times his
Justin
age.
Justin Bieber as Cody Parkey?
That could work.
Bieber as Parkey.
How about Elijah Wood?
Elijah Wood wouldn't be
it's
a bad
short.
Cody Parkey.
He would be a very good Cody Parkey. A very
you know
good
what?
One.
I feel bad for that guy. It shouldn't have came down to that kick. You know, you gotta just score more points and get a nice cushion and not leave it that close. But
thank you, Coach.
I'm trying to cheer everybody up. I thought of Bill instantly.
Listen,
I'm
when sure I saw it, here's what I don't understand.
I just pictured Bill when it happens, taking like a handful of Skittles and throwing them at the TV. No,
I had a cigarette like in my hand. I flicked it against the wall really hard and just like walked. I was at
you were outside, I hope.
I was outside at Duffy's watching it, and I just by myself, alone. I was like, I can't go in there right now and watch this with these people if this happens. And then he kicks it through. And then there's a little practice kick, and I'm like, that's it.
Why did he miss the next one? That's exactly what I thought. When he kicked the first one, I was like, why did you do that? You totally just jinxed us.
You know what I noticed?
And of course it went through, right?
Like, he tried to kick it too hard the second time. He was so amped up. The first one he knew wasn't going to count, so he just chipped it. He was like, just chip shot. If he would have done that the second time, we got no problems.
No, none.
No. He's going to have nightmares about that the rest of his life.
He'll never enjoy another Italian beef in this city, I'll tell you that.
It's going to get spit on.
Spit on, all kinds of stuff.
He's probably most likely will not be a Bear next year. That's
because of that. Well, yeah, he's horrible.
Well, you can't mark it because of that.
He had a terrible season. He had $9 million guaranteed, and I believe if they let him go, they have to pay him like another $2 million, something like that. Not bad. $11 million for 11 missed kicks.
There you go. Yeah.
But,
pretty sweet.
$1 million the other per way, kick.
But Robbie Gould is a free agent.
You could definitely see it. I could see.
He's missed three field goals in the past three seasons since he's left the Bears.
I'll tell you what. If he came back.
It would be like Jordan coming back.
Well, now because of what happened. Right.
Perfect timing.
But if he comes back, when was the last time you went to a football game where the kicker came in and the crowd went, yeah! Like, the crowd starts flipping out when the kicker enters the game.
If I was the
Bears. Typically,
the
kicker is like, we didn't score, but we're going to get it. But we got to settle for it. All right, let's see what this guy does.
If I was Robbie and the Bears are like, all right, you can come back for 2 years. We'll give you like $20 million. He'd be like, 40. And they'd be like, deal.
I think the Halas family would say, sorry, Robbie. $40 million? I don't think so. We haven't won a Super Bowl since 1985. We're not going to give a kicker $40 million.
No, they're not going to do it this year because of their kicker, Bill.
But we'll give you $3 million for the year and a bungalow in Berlin.
He was at the game, though. Robbie Gould was at the game with his kids. He was quoted in an article saying that his children did not leave this year when he went out to play in San Francisco. They left the kids here in Chicago. So his family and everybody's still here. And he was at the game cheering on the Bears. There is a good chance that you could see the Bears grab him in free agency. But San Francisco has negotiating rights with him until March 1st, I believe.
Contracts.
Hey, as soon as we got rid of Cody Parkey, missed that, I was like, who are we signing? Who are we going to go get? This guy is not coming
back.
You
and everybody else in a
but
Bears jersey.
We were also talking about, can we get any of the Grammaticas?
Yeah.
You know,
Grammatica's probably got a kid.
Are they still around?
One of the Grammaticas has got a kid.
Somebody caught a Grammatica, guys!
Where are the Grammaticas?
There's got to be like a group of like Latin brothers somewhere who are kicking field goals like crazy that we could get our hands on at least one of them.
The Bears don't sign one kicker. They sign the Grammatica family, which means that every time a Grammatica misses it, they go, all right, Juan, you're out, Mario. You start next week.
Did we ever have a Grammatica? Was Martin Grammatica ever on the Bears?
He's probably driving an Uber in Buenos Aires right now.
No way. He's a multimillionaire. He's in Miami somewhere playing the congas.
Yeah.
and laughing hysterically at Cody Parkey's missed kick, right?
Yeah. You know what? I did a little digging, and Cody Parkey was on the Eagles.
He was at one point. That's correct.
I think it's an inside job.
Everybody says the ball was not the next day is that, it was tipped. It was tipped. Did you see this sort of Zapruder video?
It doesn't matter.
They show of a hand kind of half-heartedly, maybe the middle finger.
The NFL officially ruled it a tipped. They didn't rule it a missed field goal. They ruled it a blocked kick.
Listen, really? They had the distance. It doesn't matter. Aim a little bit more to the right, kid.
Mm-hmm.
You got no problems.
Nope.
Even if it wasn't tipped, it probably still would have hit something.
Well, where'd you watch the game play?
On my couch with my wife and child.
Oh, so everybody was huddled up and waited for that heartbreaking moment?
My wife actually didn't watch any of the game except that 1 minute. I'm like, here, this is it.
Neither did mine. She came in for like the last like 2 minutes of the game. She goes, all right, I couldn't watch all day, but what's going on? Yeah. I'm like, well, when the Eagles scored at the end, I was like, oh, we lost anyway. And then Trubisky threw this great ball and got us in field goal range. And I was like, this is amazing. We might actually win this game right now.
It was tough.
There were lots of what ifs. Like, and Mike made up a good point. And he just said to me, "Remember the catch that
I think it was either Anthony Miller, the rookie, had it, where he catches the ball inside the 10, and he actually did have possession of it. And then they ruled it. First, they ruled it an incomplete pass, but he had possession of it, and then it should have been a fumble, and then the Bears got the spot of the ball there.
Yeah.
I mean, that could have changed a
lot. You know what else
could
have changed if they scored 10 more touchdowns?
You know what else they could have done?
Here's what I want to bring up.
Some McCann's Irish oatmeal before the game.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
Nobody on the Bears.
Parkey did not have his.
No, he
missed his bowl. He skipped his bowl of McCann's.
He missed his spoonful on the sidelines.
And boom, look what happens. You're out of town, right? End of career. Wide left.
You can't walk into anywhere.
If you don't want to hit the uprights in the morning,
eat that oatmeal.
You eat the oatmeal of McCann's. It is the greatest Irish oatmeal in the land and the world. The Hooli's Hooli is presented by it. More after these.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish American community of Chicagoland for just as long. Skinny and Hooli Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
Hi, I'm Patty Houlihan, and I support Concern Worldwide. If you want to do something about global poverty, hunger, refugees, the unacceptable suffering of young children, if you want to reach people directly where the need is greatest, you should too. For 50 years since its grassroots beginnings in Dublin, Concern has changed and saved lives of millions. It has been the proud, relentlessly compassionate face of Ireland to the world. Support Concern today at concernusa.org. That's concernusa.org. There's no more Irish thing you can do.
There's no friend like an old friend. Southside cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982 when they started their first store where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showrooms, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor and get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself no. It's because Haggerty's took good care of me, God bless them. Call them today at 877-774-9647, 877-774-9647, or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero, and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero. Tell them Hooli sent you. If you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did.
Welcome back. Hooli's Hooli Radio Hour. Yeah, go see the Haggertys.
Sports talk's over.
That's right. Listen, the other thing I want to tell you is that the Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If you if you like mostly good news and information from all facets of the Irish community, check out the Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call 847-872-0700.
Yep.
Once again, that's 847-872-0700. Or you can email Cliff Carlson at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Call him up. Subscribe. It's a great paper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go to the Heritage Center and pick up a copy, too.
I was an intern there many years ago.
You can pick up a copy at almost all your local watering holes that have some sort of Irish lineage to them.
Sure.
Hey, we have a guest tonight.
Oh, yeah.
He's been on the program prior to this. This might be his fourth appearance on the program. He's a great, great friend of the show.
I'd say our favorite guest.
At this point, without a doubt. It's the very funny Patrick Chase, comedian Pat Chase.
Hey,
is on the program.
How's it going, guys? Very flattering. Very flattering.
You're welcome. I hope I intro'd you the right way.
Works for me, man.
Did it good, you know? How are things? How's life in the comedy game? You will be headlining the Improv in Schaumburg.
That's right. Tomorrow night for your listeners.
That's right. Tomorrow night for our listeners. Sunday.
Sunday, January 13th at 7 o'clock p.m.
Nice.
Going to headline it, doing about a 45 to an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I got some new stuff I'm going to throw down, as well as some older stuff that I worked out. So it should be fun.
Good. Yeah.
Should be fun.
How has life been in between? Last time we had you on the program, you were in the insurance business. You had entered the insurance business again.
You were selling scholarships, selling dreams to people.
Oh, yeah, I was doing that. Yeah, now back to square one. I'm unemployed.
You're a comedian again.
Yes, thank you.
Welcome home.
So, yeah, I got laid off. Real kick in the balls there at the end of 2018. They laid me off like December 1st, so... I was kind of thinking of leaving anyway. It just kind of forced me.
That's a rotten time. Hey, December 1st, Christmas time.
Yeah, see you
Hit
around.
The bricks, guys.
Well, they still paid me through the month, so it was all right. But still, I just...
You were like, sweet, I got a huge holiday break.
It was kind of nice because I was getting burnt out. And now I just get up. Sometimes I go right back to bed because I'm like, I got nothing to do. It's raining out.
Watch the Price is Right.
Try again in a few hours.
Write a few bits. Yeah. Go out all night again. Right. Hit up the rooms till 3 a.m.
Oh, man.
It's good stuff.
Have you been hitting up a lot of the rooms?
I actually have been, I've been hitting up as much as I can. That's why this improv gig is coming in perfect timing, because I've been just hitting open mics or showcases and just getting, you know, little bits of time here and there. There's so many comics now in Chicago.
There are a ton. I was going to say, the one thing that you told me on the ride over here was that you will, like, so you went back and gotten that gig for a little while, and you were in sales, and then you're like, okay, so I'm still headlining, but I can't go out and hit the rooms as much as
I
write at home.
I got to be, you know.
And then you say you go back out and start hitting the rooms again, and you're like, who is everybody?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
what happened?
That's the thing, man. There's so many comics now. You, like, disappear for, like, 2 months, and it's like you're overlooked, and you got to start...
You gotta venture out. You gotta go out.
Right, because that's why every comic who left for New York or like LA, they'll come back and they get every spot in town. Like, because they're in town, you know, for whatever. They're doing Zanies or something, and they're getting on all the weeknight spots. So I gotta get bumped for that.
But you're needed. You gotta please the Schaumburgese.
Well, yeah, the Schaumburgese I can please. I don't even know if that's a thing.
Is that
a language? That's the Schaumburgese.
That's the T-shirt you wear under your sport coat.
There you go. I'm part Schaumburgese.
Oh man,
he's the Schaumburgesian.
But you know what? Yeah, work those outer areas. They like to laugh too, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, I did a lot of stuff in Berwyn last year.
Yeah.
Berwyn's always a fun town.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
Good blue-collar town. Everyone there's got a problem.
I feel like they would they gel with the Pat Chase
boys. Oh, yeah. I get along great. And then South Suburbs, too. You know, Orland and Beverly and all that.
Yeah.
Those folk are pretty nice. They all got issues, too, so it's fun.
Easy to relate.
I always feel like I'm in Shameless when I'm down there.
We're on the south side?
Yeah, like an episode of that.
What rooms are you playing?
Just fundraisers and, you know, spot. You know, that one in Alsip, what is it, Riddles?
Yes.
I've been down there. That place is fun. Those people are always good.
It's a great club.
In fact, I should reach out to them and see if I can get down there.
Hello, Riddles. Are you listening? Pat
plenty
would like
of time
to play
now
again.
On my hands. So,
listen, I'm recently I'm a comedian again. I stopped selling things. Now I'm selling myself again in jokes.
Absolutely.
5 nights a week, and I'll be headlining the Improv in Schaumburg. Who's featuring for you this Sunday?
I believe Jordan Holmes, which I've worked for a few times now at the Improv, and he's always good.
Okay.
Good crowd pleaser. He's got. It's just real good delivery, kind of dry but funny.
Nice.
You know, good, smart, witty comic, so it's always good.
The Improv knows you well at this point. can you just go out there and just do whatever you want? No, I'm just going to see.
Well, what I try new things every time. Okay, so this will be the third time I've headlined there. So I did some bits the first time that I didn't do the second time, and I did some bits the second time I didn't do the first time. So this time I'm going to try to consolidate everything. Mm-hmm. And throw in probably at least another 10 minutes of brand new stuff that I have written. I just need to figure out where I'm going to fit it in. And then just kind of play by ear on certain things and see if I can come up with some more material while I'm at it
there you go.
On stage. Because I'm going to, yeah, I've been filming all my sets lately.
You are? You're that guy now?
Yeah, well, I have a guy who films for me.
Okay.
And he'll do like a 3-camera set.
Oh, that's
like
nice.
GoPro on the stage. You know, maybe a camera far and then one like
you're getting professional with it.
Well, he's like a new, he just started his own doing this thing full time. So
does he do it for a lot of comedians?
He does it for comedians. He does music. For music, sporting events, okay. Like, you know, soccer games, like for the high school and stuff. And, so it's kind of like,
I do it for the comedians. I do it for the soccer games at high schools.
He helps me out.
You know how busy I am.
He does a good job, like, and then he'll send me the clips, and it's cheap, because he's learning, but they're good clips. So.
Oh, so he cuts them all, he cuts it together for you?
For me, yeah, and he edits it, and then, and I use it just for, like,
promo. You
know, promo, yeah. Not yet, because there's certain things I need to clip out, but it's good for, like, learning. I watch it, and it good, you know, and he usually plugs into the soundboard, so I got, like, good audio.
Now,
so
you have a roommate still, correct?
Yeah.
Does he ever just walk in on you watching yourself? Isn't that weird? hey, Pat, what are you doing?
Yeah, he's
I'm watching
that.
Myself.
Actually, yeah, he's caught me before.
Got
I'm
you
like, can you knock?
Caught you watching yourself again, didn't you?
Quit watching yourself.
Hey, put a sock on the door. I'm watching myself, okay? Beyond an hour.
Yeah. I'm in the bathroom, like.
You're laughing at all your own stuff. You're like, I killed there.
She's taking a funny pee.
That bit. I love that bit when I do the midget bit. That was great.
Yeah, it's like that's like a professional athlete watching film. You know, he's just analyzing.
Hey,
yeah,
I go back.
X's and O's.
I listen to this show all the time.
Right.
And laugh at it.
Do you ever cringe sometimes?
You kidding?
Like, why would people listen to this? Yeah. I do that when I watch films sometimes. I'm just like, why did anyone laugh at that? Those people are so stupid.
Yeah.
You're yelling. You're mad at the audience.
What a dumb audience. They thought that was funny.
Yeah. You should have. You should've.
See, unfortunately, I don't have the luxury of knowing what my audience thinks. Once this baby goes out, it's over.
Right. That's it. Yeah.
There could literally be zero people listening to this.
Mm-hmm. There are way more than zero. There's 11,000 listeners, actually.
Eight.
It's 8,000?
Yeah.
I thought it was 11.
Oh, that's
you're right, it is
8,000. 3,000, yeah. Huh?
Yeah, it's a big window. Big window. That's 4 years of window.
Yeah. Yep. Something to shoot for.
It's 2,000 per year.
We're climbing.
We're climbing, okay?
I got all these graphs in a spreadsheet for you.
That's what I tell my sponsors.
State of management.
We're getting tech, I'm climbing.
Tell them you got the graphs in a file, but you can't get to it.
That's it.
You have metrics on the show? I got graphs in a file, but I can't get to it. The IT guy's all messed up. You know what I mean, Joe?
I forgot my password.
Yeah, I forgot my password. This thing's frozen.
So forget it.
I got a frozen computer. My password's busted.
Yeah, someone broke my password.
Password's frozen.
Oh, it's caps? Oh, it's caps.
Yeah,
caps.
All right, I'll get you the metrics next week. You want to go have a sandwich somewhere?
Yeah. Forget about it. It's fine.
All right. What are the new bits? Let's try a new bit out.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't really think some of them are.
Who's ready to laugh?
I'm going to touch on some
unemployment
like beating
jokes?
Kids, right? Versus timeouts.
No, I want to hear this.
Basically, just like the timeout. Like, I was over at my buddy's house for the holidays.
Yeah.
My best friend, see my godson and his other
kid.
1-year-old, yeah. His brother.
That thing.
And I stayed over there and, we're trying to watch football.
Sure.
And he must have put this kid in a timeout like 4 or 5 times just in the first half.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if you put him in timeout one more time, I'm going to smack you in front of him just to teach him what a wimp his dad is. Because
so
if you
were like,
hey, timeout a kid 4 times in an hour.
It ain't working.
I think you need to smack him. Yeah, teach him a lesson.
Oh, corporal punishment.
What's the point of timeout? You know, the kid's like, okay, I'll go back and time out again and come back out and be a jerk.
The good crack is gone these days.
Yeah, it's good crack, not like nothing bad.
I got cracked.
Yeah.
And if you
do it good enough, they're not going to do it again. You just
make
hold the hand up.
Make their ears
just a nice one in the back of the head. A nice hard one. And then you're done.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, I don't know. I have children of my own. I'm on both sides of the fence.
See, I don't. That's why I can't have children. Cause
There's times where you do lose it, and you go, hey, and you grab them by the arm, and you go, knock it off now, you know, or I'm gonna give you a crack.
That sounded way too white.
Yeah. Is that a white guy?
Hey,
hey, Mister
Dorothy, get out of the dog food.
Hey, knock it off now, Dorothy. Right. Get out of the dog food.
That's for our golden retriever.
Cool it.
It's for Toby.
It's for Toby.
What just happened?
I don't know. You guys are crazy.
What?
We're talking about beating kids.
We're talking about beating kids, and you guys talked about a woman named Dorothy, not
about
a dog.
We're talking about beating kids, and you got to talk about golden retrievers.
All right, yes.
I'm on both sides of it, Pat, but I understand what you're saying. You're not saying beating them, but you are saying every kid needs a good crack to put them in line. Otherwise, the kid will just keep doing it.
Well, 5 timeouts in like an hour and a half, that ain't working.
It's a waste of time.
No, it's not working.
Like,
You know what he should do?
Or throw them in a room for like 4 hours.
Put them in a cage.
4 hours!
Then they'll learn, right?
Get them in like a dog crate.
I wouldn't say a crate.
That's real lovely.
I want, just like a room and be like, you come out.
Or make them like a little penalty box.
You know what I would do if I was
Clay, there's your invention.
There you go. Penalty box. I like
We have a new thing for children. We sell at, where would they sell that? The room place or somewhere like that? Children's penalty box.
Yeah.
What's in it?
It looks like a Hawks penalty box.
What do you mean, what's in it?
The kid's in it, and it's soundproof.
You
just bangs
out
on the glass for a few
minutes. It's soundproof, and it has pictures of Freddy Krueger.
It's got
all
the little door.
Freddy, what?
Yeah, it's got a door. It's got the plexiglass, and it's got a bench in it, and that's it.
Right. The
penalty
box.
It's got
box.
Pictures of things that scare kids. Like Freddy Krueger, there's a picture of him in there.
No, Bill.
No?
don't get scared.
Clay says no. You're right about that.
No,
Pat.
Mean words. It says like mean words. They're freaked out.
No, there's a picture of Stan Mikita.
A bully. There's a picture of a bully.
It's as scary as Freddy Krueger to some.
Oh, boy. I don't know why Freddy Krueger came into the conversation.
Because it scares, like, you weren't scared of Freddy?
Because of nightmares on Elm Street?
So if you put a 5-year-old in the room where all he's got to do is stare at Freddy Krueger, he's going to start thinking.
Do you think Freddy Krueger is scary to these kids? They don't care.
I will put
Freddy
a picture
Bill's
of
Bill's like, I've got it. I know how to scare and discipline kids. I'm going to put them in a room with pictures of Freddy Krueger. And they're going to be so scared, they'll never try it again.
Yeah. Could work.
Or they're going to come out and claw your face.
Well, exactly.
Patty, why don't you try that out on your kids and see if it works?
What happened to Jeffrey? Well, Mr. Dahmer was in the Freddy Krueger box most of his life. everything from there just kind of went south.
Got a little weird.
It got a little strange.
But you know what? I have the luxury of having two boys. So when they start fighting each other, I let them finish it out.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be a winner.
Yeah, just let them go
at
it.
A winner here somewhere.
Get it done. I wonder if people in Ireland are cracking their kids more often than they do in the States. I think they're rather diplomatic.
Everybody's cracking everybody in Ireland.
You think so?
Yeah.
We're going to have to ask. We have Des Bishop, who's supposed to be calling in tonight, Clay.
Yeah, sure.
The Irish comedian.
Very well known.
Very well known.
Yes, sir.
Big star over in Ireland.
Yes.
Originally here from the States, New York.
God bless.
Yeah. But he is playing Zanies here all weekend.
I know Zanies.
He's headlining. And he's scheduled to call in, so I do want to let our radio listeners know that we may abruptly just stop and welcome Des Bishop to the program.
Absolutely.
That's fine.
And we'll ask him if people are beating their children in Ireland. I'm sure he'll be a little bit walled off by that.
Sure, he's got the metrics.
I don't mean, listen, like, we know
again,
you're coming to Zanies this weekend. We're
curious. I'm condoning, like, child abuse here. I'm just saying,
you're a one-off.
A quick, hey, knock it off.
Yeah. It's totally.
I mean, business exactly. Right now.
Did you get cracked as a kid a lot?
Oh yeah, I was terrible. I had two older brothers that like were really bad, and so I'm the youngest. So by the time it got to me, it was like not even
worth the effort.
Yeah, right. It was like the bar was so low. Like, just don't go to jail.
Yeah.
Don't do drugs and get like C's. And we'll be fine.
Don't go to jail. Don't do drugs. And don't get
blow
seized.
Anything up like your brothers. And
do
I don't want you coming
drugs.
Home in a cop car.
Yeah. That's nice.
Every time I went to school, too, like the principals and teachers, like, They're like, how many of you chases are coming through?
Yeah, they were sad to see another one through. They're right, like, they're oh, like, no, not again.
Not a third one. And it was like, I already had like, you know, was already
tortured by the other two.
Right. Sure. And I was a bad kid.
Of course.
Obviously. And I didn't really have a bully issue because I had two older brothers that were hardcore bullies.
So you knew.
So every bully picked on me, I'm just like, that's all you got. Yeah. Really? A swirly? Okay. That's it. Move. I'll do it myself.
You ever play video? Now, this is, what'd you do for Christmas? Would you get anything big for Christmas this year?
Did you get that shirt for Christmas?
I got this shirt and some socks.
Ooh, pure.
God bless.
That's all I get.
That's beautiful.
And that's all I care about.
Have you worn the shirt on stage? Go, this is my red Christmas shirt.
No, I have not yet.
Pat's wearing a red three-button short sleeve polo.
I mean, I almost look too good
pocket
for radio
polo
right now.
His beautiful Pert Plus hair is here again as
his
well.
His hair is perfect.
We've talked about that. His hair is perfect.
I mean, if you folks could see what I look like right now, you'd be like, get off.
This is not an exaggeration. His hair is like Cary Grant's hair. Right now.
Or Jimmy Vaughn, Stevie Ray's brother, Jimmy.
Yeah.
He reminds me, you got a little bit of a rockabilly punk rip to your look.
All right.
Like we were talking earlier before that, and I said, oh, he's a hoodie comic. We were talking about somebody, right?
Yeah, right.
And I said, what kind of like, what's that guy? Well, he's wearing a satin bomber jacket. All the comedians have to, like.
Is there a costume?
There's a costume.
Do you ever get the guy who wears like the black suit with the black tie? Like,
yeah, some of those guys. And then you get like the guys with the jacket on, like they got to leave real quick, which I never.
Like a parka?
Yeah. I see dudes go up there with like a parka or the leather. You know, the leather jacket that's
My
Cousin Vinny.
Yeah.
Trying to do a dice thing?
Yeah, no, like that kind can't. Of. Yeah, I don't.
That's sacrilege.
I throw down like a button-up shirt. You know,
should go out
some
and
jeans
like that. You do
maybe
that.
A sport coat.
You've got like you rock those sort of like Tommy Bahama rockabilly shirts.
Like a bowling
Tony
shirt.
Soprano
shirt.
Yeah, right. In the summertime, now I just use.
You got to try and you got to do the purple Eddie Murphy leather.
Oh yeah,
full body.
Should I go delirious or raw?
Go delirious.
The blue
first.
Or the red?
Go blue first.
All right.
Because you got the red shirt.
Yeah, sure.
I don't have the bulge for it.
Fake it.
I will fake it.
Actually, would be that would be a really funny joke, I think, if like I was at a stand-up show on Halloween and a comic came out and the Eddie Murphy.
Or just come out pretend outfit. I'm just like, what?
It's been done, believe me. It's been done many, many times. Although, probably. Bill, you could come out as a candy-flavored comedian. You're just, all your jokes are about candy.
We were talking about this. And
you could wear like a John Popper harmonica vest with candy inside the vest.
Instead of harmonica.
And your stage name is Fun Size.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Billy Skittles.
You know what I did
or Billy
yesterday?
Billy Skittles. Live tonight at the Improv, Billy Skittles. Straight from Las Vegas.
Speaking of candy fun, I had some candy fun last night.
Uh-oh. You did?
Last night?
A friend of mine gave my girlfriend's son a pinata, a Cubs pinata.
Oh, okay. Right.
And cool. He had never really, like, he's like, he had never
now,
hit,
would
like,
that be for a Cubs fan or a Sox fan? Because you're beating it with a bat.
I mean, he's a Cubs fan who gave it to Maddox. Maddox is he doesn't know who he likes yet. He's Cubs, Cardinals, Sox, he's all over the place. All
right, carry on.
We hung it up, and I was like, how are we going to do this
Billy's
thing in the apartment? And I'm
dreaming
like,
dreaming about what's inside that thing.
No, yeah. We packed it ourselves.
Oh,
so we took
nice.
His Halloween
okay.
candy, we packed it in.
All right.
And then we housed this thing last night in the living room, two of us just whacking the crap out of it.
And then was there a candy aha moment where
it smashed all over the place?
Yeah, and you guys went, yeah!
Like, there was one point where I looked at it, and it was just like starting to crumple and cave in because like the pinata was the shape of a Cubs jersey.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And I hit it right in the dead center of the chest, and I went, socks!
Yeah.
And I put like a big hole in it, and then he finished it off, and candy went everywhere. And I was like, now that was fun.
Did you get any?
Pinatas are still fun for
Bill. Now that was fun. That's very white, too.
It is.
Now that was fun.
Now right. That was
Squirt.
Fun.
Nice shot, kiddo.
Did you get on your hands and knees and pick up the candy? Like
My girlfriend and I both, we got on our hands and knees, and yeah, we collected all the candy, got it back together, and put it in the bag. And yeah, we did that.
Wow.
That's good. Let's take a little candy break. Hooli's Hooli returns after these.
When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Home are third generation family owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. Robert J. Sheehy and Son Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this is one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind, was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of success is evident 98 years later as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. The name Sheehy on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family, and you know you never forget something like that. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike Orico, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff, take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
There's no friend like an old friend. Southside Cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982 when they started their first store where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showrooms, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor and get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself no. It's because Haggerty's took good care of me, God bless them. Call them today at 877-774-9647. 877-774-9647 or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero. Tell them Hooley sent you. If you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did.
There's only one Irish pub on the Chicago River, and that's Lizzie McNeil's at 400 North McClure Court. We spend a lot of time there, taping the Skinny and Hooley show at Lizzie's almost every Wednesday night. You can escape the hustle and bustle of Navy Pier and relax at Lizzie McNeil's. Our old pal John Wren is your host. Please say hello when you stop by for one of their ice-cold brews in an authentic Irish pub. One visit and you'll be calling it your hometown hangout. We've been hanging at Lizzie's for going on 7 years now, so join us. When the weather gets nice, they have two outdoor patio areas where you can take advantage of the sunshine, a cafe menu of salad, sandwiches, and appetizers. Lizzie's also has a great private party room that's perfect for birthdays, graduations, and most nights at Lizzie's, you can meet the elite of Chicago's Irish-American community. So stop by Lizzie McNeil soon, right by the river. Tell them you were sent by Skinny and Hooley.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
Welcome back. Final stretch of the Hooley's Hooley. I want to thank Pat Chase for being our guest tonight. We do have Des Bishop on the line. He first came to my attention years ago when we visited Ireland in 2009, Clay.
Sure.
We were making a movie for Hibernian Transmedia called Our Irish Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
And Des is a world-famous comedian now, but very famous in Ireland. And he had a few programs, and he's originally from Queens, New York. And he's made most of his career on the nuances that exist in the diaspora that exists between Irish America and the homeland.
Sure.
He's here in Zanies all weekend, all right? I encourage all of our listeners to come out and see him. On the line is Des Bishop. Des, you there?
I am indeed. I am.
Thanks for doing the Hooley's Hooley. It's been a long time. I don't even know if you remember meeting us, but you knocked it out.
I remember meeting you guys. Sure.
All right, cool. You just landed here in Chicago. We tape the show here on Wednesdays. It airs on Saturdays. How are you enjoying your time? You're done with your first set tonight, as I understand.
That's right. And I've made the tragic mistake of thinking that I could have this conversation in Starbucks. It's too noisy, so now I'm outside in the 20-degree weather watching the gentle flurries fall, having the cold winter Chicago experience. But I have to say, I'm loving it, I've never been to Chicago, so it's very exciting for me.
Oh, okay, wow. So I did not know that. This is your first time here?
It's my first 8 hours, 9 hours in Chicago.
And you were coming from, where did you come from the other day, Miami? Or
I was in Minneapolis, and then I had 2 days off. So instead of going back to New York, I went to Palm Beach, Florida for 2 days.
That's nice. A smart play.
Yeah.
So I wanted to have the full contrast. I wanted to go from 80 degrees to 20 degrees. I wanted that 60-degree swing.
Oh, yeah.
Just so I could immediately.
This is actually warm for Chicago this time of year.
Believe it or not,
this is what they're saying. Although I know I get this whole it's warm for Chicago this time of year. I think tonight is probably a seasonal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. How were the laughs tonight? Did you enjoy the audience?
Love it. Cool. Love it. I mean, it's a great club. It's real intimate. And I was in Minneapolis last weekend. I love Minneapolis, but the club I was in was like, tough club, kind of like just acoustically a little cold.
Yeah.
Whereas Zany's is just real warm and. It's, audience is totally up for it.
You're right. You feel it. When you walk in the room, you go, okay, here we go. This is the real deal.
And I get a mix of, obviously there's a lot of Irish in Chicago, so they were there. But then, you just get that Zany's crowd, so it's good to get that mix.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you. You've been, now how many dates have you done here in the States on this little tour stretch?
Well, I'm kind of living in New York now, really, actually. I still have a place in Dublin, but I've been based in New York more the last 2 years.
No kidding. Okay, cool.
So it's not as much of a sort of an experiment in terms of I booked the gig in Zany's to play a comedy club as opposed to sort of trying to get I want the Irish to come,
yeah,
but my mission was more just to play an American club.
Now, for after all these years of making such a big name for yourself in Ireland, and you had all those great shows, Joy in the Hood, and then you went and learned Gaelic, and how do you find that the Irish audiences are receptive to your brand of comedy? Because you do. When I first saw you, I said, this is an American who's slaying it in Ireland. And now you're an Irishman now. And I don't think that we can say that because we haven't lived it the way that you have. And it's like you're a reverse expatriate coming back to the States now. And you're like, did you get the Jones to say, I want to go and be, and start telling my story to the American audience after doing it in Ireland?
Yeah. I mean, it was more, what happens? I went to China. I did a project about learning Chinese, which I don't know if you know about that.
Yeah, I did.
It was kind of like a follow on from the Irish language project.
Yes.
And after doing that and making Chinese people laugh in Chinese, but even also making the American English expat, Irish expat crowd in China laugh, just with my stuff, I kind of thought, I need to do more international stuff.
Yeah.
So really, it was really China that made me think I want to spread my wings a little bit. I mean, I still work in Ireland all the time. Like, I still consider myself sort of an Irish comic.
Yeah.
But it is, like, creatively inspiring, and I have to say, a little more exciting for me to be doing stuff like this. Even though I had a friend that was at the show tonight, a guy that knows me from Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And he was like, what are you doing these clubs for? I was like, dude, this is exactly what I want to be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to be like experiencing America and figuring out what's funny in America. And, the whole thing is very, my brain is frozen now, so my vocabulary has shrunk.
Right.
But it's inspiring for me. It's exciting.
Do you find yourself getting dumber as you've been roaming around through the States?
No, but I find my New York accent coming back, which, I mean, I always had a bit of it, but
yeah,
it's kind of come back more than I wanted, actually. Sometimes I listen to myself and I'm like, oh my God, I'm an ignorant guy from Queens.
You're not ignorant, but I know what you're getting at. We sound like this all the time. That's part of, I've amped that ideology of my voice to be that. I don't even care anymore. I don't try to mask that.
Yeah, well,
that's my brand.
I'm only very recently getting a touch of an ear for the Chicago accent. I wouldn't have been aware of it much of my lifetime. I've seen David Mamet plays, but I didn't know that was a Chicago accent. But now that I know a few Chicago comics, I've started to notice.
You're like, this guy sounds like Ricky Roma. Okay, I get it.
Just saying the word accent, it brings out my Chicago accent. So.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely something sort of a bit like tight in the throat.
It's a nasally, very nasally, almost painful to listen to.
Now, are you hitting up Comedy Cellar and joints like that in New York and playing some of those?
I'm a total regular. I mean, that's the thing that keeps me sane. I'm like in the Comedy Cellar most nights, and that's super fun too.
And you're an observational comedian with some respect. Are you commenting more on American stuff now that you're here? Or is that where your new material is coming from?
More generic stuff. I mean, I donm not. I don't talk about Trump or anything like that. But
yeah.
There's some stuff. the thing, obviously, that you notice is people talk a lot more about race here.
Yeah.
Haven't been super inspired about it. I mean, I touch on it a little bit. And the funny thing is that, you know, my material about China works really well over here. I do that a lot.
Yeah.
But people are always trying to bracket that in the race category, but it's actually, well, I mean, it is a race issue, but it's really more about, like, this is what this other country is like, you know?
Of course, right. Yeah.
Chinese people really enjoy it when they watch it, but, you know, when I try to pitch it to, like, say, if I try to pitch it to, like, Conan or something, they're always like, oh, you know, we're not really comfortable with the white guy
coming out and doing jokes in Mandarin. I mean,
well, they just don't get it, you know, which is fine.
That's unfortunate.
But anyway, a lot of the comedians do sort of touch on the race thing. I don't really, you know, other than cultural observations, but I consider that more like international cultural observations rather than the simple thing of the Irish are drinkers, the Latinos, you know, like to rob cars.
Yeah, for women, sure.
You know, whatever.
The Irish like to do that too.
I know, but you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
There's one for every group, and you hit that and everybody laughs, and then, you know, I try not to sort of fall into that trap.
What did doing the project in China when you went out and started learning Mandarin and speak? Was it Mandarin that you learned, Des?
Yeah.
And what does that do for your time as a comedian, where you're learning a new language and, you know, you're honing your set and working on time, and then you jump into a different language? Does that help after, you know, when you're going and doing a set in your native tongue again? Was it like a muscle that you learned or that you started working out?
I mean, I don't know. I actually think it's more just the comedy muscle.
Yeah.
Makes it a lot easier to do the comedy in your second language, like easier than people think.
Right.
Like once you have pretty basic, well, in my opinion, once you have pretty basic Mandarin, it's amazing how quickly you can use your basic Mandarin to make people laugh, you know?
Yeah.
But in terms of bringing it back to English, you know, I can't say that was the big thing. The only great thing about that was that I just got so much good, interesting material out of it in English, not just in Chinese.
Right. Now, you come to Chicago and Starbucks was your first stop after your set at Zane's?
No, you know, just somebody said that there's a 24-hour Starbucks on the corner. And I was going to, my plan was I was going to come in and get a chamomile tea and have this conversation with you.
Yeah.
But when I walked in, this is like the busiest.
Oh,
I've never seen a Starbucks this busy at like 10:30. So
you're in Old Town. Welcome.
So now I'm in the doorway of Starbucks, which is why it's a bit echoey. Just in case your listeners thought that I was like taking a dump or something.
Hey, Bill. Make sure we send an invoice to Starbucks.
Absolutely, I'll send an invoice.
That's Starbucks.
Yep.
We'll get them on. Yeah. Des, thanks so much for joining us. You can see the very funny Des Bishop Wednesday. That was tonight. He already went on. That's when we're taping. But for those listening, you can see him Saturday at 7 p.m. at Zany's in Chicago on Well Street, Saturday again at 9 p.m., and then Saturday at 11:15 p.m., and that's your last set, and then you're off and into the Mystic again, correct, Des?
I am indeed off. I'm actually off to Ireland in a week and a half.
And what do you have planned in Ireland in a week and a half?
Another tour and, you know, make money.
Yeah. talk about us. Put us on, you know, hopefully.
Talk about all these dumb Americans.
Boy. All right. Well, Des, God bless you. Thanks for doing the program. I would hope that all of our listeners go out and see Des. I'm telling you, it's a real treat. Miss him.
We'll check it out.
Thanks so much.
Des, thank you. Break a leg.
Thanks. Have a
Appreciate
good one.
Appreciate it,
Des. Bye. Thank you.
All right. That's Des Bishop. How about that? That was
How
nice.
How about that, huh?
Right. Wish I had more to talk to him about than the weather.
Hey, that's all right.
I wish you knew Mandarin.
I'm telling you, you guys have got to see this guy. Have you never seen Des Bishop before?
I have not.
All right. He's an amazing talent.
Sounds like it. If you can learn Gaelic and Mandarin, I can't even learn Spanish.
I know like three Spanish words, and that's all I use.
All my Spanish is food related.
Des is one of those comedians where I feel dumb talking to him sometimes. Because he's so eloquent and smart and put together. And I'm like,
Hey, you're smart.
You know who
Pat.
Cody Parkey is? You want to hear a Cody Parkey joke? You know?
Yeah.
You like video games? Candy?
No, do you like videos?
Never had a shot on Malort?
You like videos?
I'm telling you, Des.
You like videos?
Go see Des. He's really funny, and you can look up all his clips on YouTube. He's a huge star in Ireland. I can't believe he just did our show. So
cool.
Nice.
God bless him. All right. Speaking of video games, something strange happened to me this week.
What?
Come on.
Have you ever been, like, I don't do this very often, okay? I was tending bar at O'Sullivan's, and I'm sure, Pat, you have had a lot of nuanced, weird stories like this, but bartenders have these kinds of weird stories. Guy comes in, right, sits at the bar. He says, hey, I'm Jeffrey, you know? I said, hi, Jeffrey, nice to meet you. Yep. He goes, I'm a chef, and I'm industry, you know?
You should have said, you're
is that a Jeff with a G or a J?
Didn't even get that far. I said, hello, Jeff, pleasure to meet you.
You should have said, you're Jeffrey.
You're Sheffrey?
Yeah, you're Sheffrey. Oh, you're in the industry? You're a chef? Hi, Sheffrey.
I have something to tell you.
Okay.
It gets that far.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It does go there.
Okay. Keep going.
Sorry.
His name is Jeffrey, and he's a chef at the Pink Taco. You know the taco place
downtown?
Sure, downtown.
Pink Taco? Yeah.
He tells me, as he has a lady friend in with him, and I meet her, and then a couple other people come in, and I meet them. They're all very nice. Yeah, they stay throughout the entire night. I believe this was New Year's Day. This was the day we were watching bowl games. Over the course of the night, you develop a certain rapport. He says to me, you like gaming?
Okay.
I said, you mean like video games?
Yeah.
You know? What kind of gaming you talking about?
Yeah.
Yes, as in video games, esports. Okay.
Yes.
And he reveals to me that he is the number 5th ranked striker in the world on EA Sports' FIFA team play. Okay.
Oh. Wow. So he's like a big deal.
Well, he has an agenda that he wants to.
The only problem, the guy number first place is 9.
Well, he very well may be, but there's. Are you familiar with, like, Twitch, these sites Twitch, where these guys can stream and people can donate money to them while they play?
That's, like, huge. Yeah. Like, big deal. Big advertising.
The eSports gaming, he tells me, is a multi-billion dollar corporation.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. They have, like, tournaments in Vegas and stuff.
He'll go down to...
Power gloves?
No, he'll go down to, like, the Globe, you know?
Yeah.
They got power gloves and all kinds of things at these tournaments. It's like that.
Game Genies.
It's very intimidating.
Very intimidating. I had to go home.
Guy had a golden power glove on.
It was dressed like Eddie Murphy had a power glove.
Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos is playing with a golden power glove.
Yeah.
There's only one of these.
Right. Team
and
Amazon.
You can't get it on
it's
Amazon.
Mine.
Right. He reveals to me that he is one of the world-ranked players, but he has... and he's trying to devise something that is kind of smart. Like, he wants to take his team, and he has these guys, some of them are from, like, Paraguay and all over the world that are on his team. And when they all log in at once, they all form this team, right?
Yeah.
And he wants to take this team and get sponsorship, whether it be, like, a bar or something, and then start streaming from bars, all right?
Yeah.
To like, draw crowds for esports gaming. It's actually very intelligent.
I mean, if you put it together right, there's a market for that.
Well, I had a couple, like, whiskeys in me, and I was like, this is a $1 billion idea. Yeah, tell me more, you know? And he goes, well, my handle is Chefing on Foot, and, you know, and I put down his name in my phone, Jeffrey Pink Taco Gamer, you know, what's your number?
That's
what it says on my phone, Jeffrey Pink Taco Gamer.
Yeah.
Because I didn't ask him his last name. I did, however, he lives like a half a block from our establishment. As I was closing, he was like, come on, I'll just show you my back porch real quick. Then I go, because I was like, I don't know. How do I know you're the most world-ranked guy? I don't, you know. Because he's like, come on.
His back porch will prove it.
He's like, I want you to produce a video for me and help me out. And so we can start making these videos on YouTube. And I was like, right. So I go, I'm like, all right. Whatever, fine. All right. And I actually went to his back porch for a second and watched him play a game.
Okay. Are you intrigued or what?
Dude,
back porch?
It was like his
enclosed?
It was like a screened in kind of.
He's like, now take your pants off.
I'm not falling for this one again. Come on. Gamer.
Yeah, that's what I was worried about. That Mr. Gamer could be Mr.
I'm
Danger.
Mr. Pink Taco.
Did you ask if
Gamer.
I was into gaming?
Anyways, well, yeah, so you.
Pat, this is what the next morning I woke up and I went, I can't believe I did that. Like, I must be insane. Yeah. You know, that guy could have killed me.
Could have.
You know? But, or you just become buddies for life, right?
Or he's a legit gamer.
No, he is.
Was there trophies all over the place?
No.
They don't give trophies out, huh?
He did have an awful lot of candy. And
did you have a hangover the next morning for no reason?
He had a candy bowl. And,
did he have pictures of Bill Cosby around the place?
No, Bill Cosby pictures at the
So anyways,
Pink
you
Chapel
watched
gamer
him play.
House.
I remember you did tell me, but like at one time he logged on and all of a sudden like 10,000 people started watching him play?
Yeah, it was crazy. Like, he had, like, 10,000 viewers all at once because people were like, oh, there he is. He's playing. You can just see the viewer count going up, like, and people, like, watching. I was like, holy smokes. Like, this is for real. And I was like, this is a real thing. And he's like, you got to help me figure out how to monetize this through videos. I'm like, all right. So I may be joining forces with Jeffrey Pink Taco Gamer at some point.
Jeffrey Pink Taco Gamer.
It sounds like a good website.
Anyway, the next morning I woke up and my phone was like, you know, next to the bed and
there was a power glove under your pillow.
No, there was a missed text from Jeffrey Pink Taco Gamer, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, nice meeting you last night, you know, and, that's kind of weird when your wife says, who's Jeffrey Pink Taco Gamer? That's I go, that's a long story. He happens to be the fifth world ranked mid striker.
And
in
then
EA
he has
Sports
to tell the
FIFA.
Whole story all over again.
Yeah. But what I was saying is that I must have been insane.
Yeah.
To do something, like to actually like go watch that, like take his word for it and be like, okay, let me see.
Well,
this.
You know, unemployment makes people
that's
do crazy things sometimes.
I'm not that's
unemployed.
Such a specific thing. No yeah. one would really think of that.
I've done worse
lie.
Things on people's back porches. Before. I've gone. Don't feel too bad.
I've gone to scary people's houses.
Right. Pat, have you ever had that after a comedy show? Like
yeah,
a
I was. I had this family after a show that I did out in Clinton, Iowa. It was a one night event, yep. And it was like the whole family. And there was this girl came up to me after the show. She was cute. She had a tattoo on her face. This was like about.
Ooh.
Oh, 5 years ago, it was like a tiger on nice. Her like on her cheek.
Uh-huh.
So kind of creeped
me out. Like a paw print or an actual tiger?
Like a tiger face. It was actually cool, but it was just like, oh, it's right on your face, huh? Okay.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, we do the show. I killed it, and this family was like loving it, man. They were like blue collar and stuff. They invited me back to their place to like sleep over.
Wow.
And they were going to make me dinner and have drinks, and then we're going to have brunch in the morning.
Okay.
And the girl was like, I have a place up the street. You could sleep over at my place. You know, I have an extra bed. But I'm like, I've seen
Dateline.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah. They're going to be like, where'd he go? He went missing, and yeah, I'm in the Mississippi River or something.
Right.
Or in their basement. You know what I
mean? Yep, right.
Turns out they were all gamers, right?
The girl with the tiger tattoo.
Yeah. Turns out they were all gamers, huh? Yep. Yeah, I hate when that happens. Cool.
It was, needless to say, I didn't go. I went home,
smart.
After the gig and everything worked out.
Alive.
I'm still here.
Boy, I really hate it when I do an after party and I show up and they're all gamers, huh? Yeah.
Till they're all billionaires. Then you'll be want to be a gamer.
No.
You guys were gamers at one point.
Can't do it.
Everybody was.
I was not into gaming when it was on a network. I was into gaming when you'd have your friend over and you'd play him in Madden.
That's gaming.
And then you'd punch each other at the
right,
end of the game.
Right, right.
You cheated! You're cheating! You know? Yeah. Here, I got to give a shout out. Drop in and see our friends Mike Courtney and his wife Dawn at the Twisted Shamrock Irish Pub. That's at 773-642... What? 773-6462 South Central Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. It's one of the best Irish pubs in the Midway area. Pat, have you ever been there?
No, I haven't.
Well, if you do, go say hello to Mike and Don. They'll take good care of you.
You betcha.
That's Mike Courtney and his wife Don at the Twisted Shamrock, again, at 6462 South Central Avenue. All right, and then again, if you want to get tough and vent, you know, if you get yourself into a situation where a gamer might attack you, hit you with a controller, might want to learn how to box. And you can do that from our friends at Celtic Boxing Club, located on Chicago South Side in the Mount Greenwood Beverly Hills neighborhood.
Yep.
And the Celtic Boxing Club was founded in 1993 by Chicago attorney Mike Joyce and professional boxer. Go see him.
Go see him learn how to box.
Yep. Learn how to box. And tell him, listen, I got to get off this gaming kick. I got to learn how to box and get tough.
That's right.
Also, you can go see Pat Chase at the Improv this Sunday.
The beautiful Pat Chase.
The beautiful. I promise you, I'll have my hair done just as well, if not better. I'll be wearing a nice shirt. I'm going to iron
beautiful.
It. So, yeah, come out and see me tomorrow night if you're listening to this. The Chicago Improv located in Woodfield Mall in Schaumburg. The show's at 7. And if you want to go online right now to chicago.improv.com, punch up the ticket link for me on Sunday night, Pat Chase, and use promo code capital L and then lowercase OG and the number 1, and you will get free tickets. You just have to pay a service fee.
Cool.
So make sure you do that. And prepare to laugh because I'm going to throw it down.
All right.
All right. There you go. Thank
Throwing
you, Pat.
It down. Thank you guys for having me so
God
much.
God bless.
Appreciate it.
Again, see your friend. I want to thank you. So thank you, Pat. Special thanks again to Des Bishop for calling in. That was pretty sweet of him to do.
Yes, sir.
Go see him tonight at Zany's if you have a chance.
That's right.
9 o'clock or 11. And,
you catch
Old
two
Town.
Shows.
That's right. You're going to catch two shows. You go see Des Bishop twice.
Do it.
And then Pat Chase the next day. Boom.
And if you're going to go get tickets, you better call right
Funniest
now.
Funniest weekend in Chicago this weekend.
It is. Pat Chase and Des Bishop. Doesn't get any better. Two friends of Hibernian Transmedia.
That's right.
Until next week.
It's been fun.
Bye.